The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Last week, the US State Department downgraded Ireland in its annual survey of countries that is meeting minimum standards for the elimination of human trafficking. Our government has not obtained a trafficking conviction since the law was amended in 2013, the US report said, pointing out that there had been only 3 prosecutions last year. So what does that mean in human terms? Our next guest is Anna, a Romanian woman who was trafficked here from Britain several years ago and forced to work in prostitution in the west and northwest of Ireland. It's a distressing story, and it will seem incredible to many listeners that something like this could happen in 21st century Ireland. So when Anna joined us in the studio recently, I first asked her about how she had ended up in Ireland.
I was working in London and basically doing my usual routine, having my jobs there. I was brought in Ireland by force, led into Galway, and basically brought into a brothel in Galway.
How were you forced to fly to Galway?
I was kidnapped on the street, taken by my back and put into a car by a man, and then I was put into a car, and in this car took me to Luton Airport with them in the car. They took my bag of me, they took my possessions of me, and I had some violence, like a few punches and slaps. And then they threatened me that if I do anything or I say anything, they're going to kill my mother and or do bad things on her. So I said, okay, I shouldn't believe them because I sort of didn't know them. But then whenever they took my bag, see my bag, I had my IDs, my everything, my phones, like whatever a woman carries in her bag, you know. So basically, I said, even if they don't know where is my mother, or even they don't know where is my family, they're still going to find them through my identity card, which basically shows your address on it. It's like your driving license or anything else, you know. I was like, right. I was in shock at that moment because I really didn't know what was going on. It was not really ideal to be put in a car, grabbed by the neck and sort of punch. And
were you then too scared when you got to Luton Airport to try and appeal to the passport authorities?
Well,
these men are forcing me to get on a flight I don't want to be on.
Well, they made sure by the time I got into the Luton Airport that I'm sort of feel threatened, you know, once by violence, then by family, and then they sort of made sure through violence and threatening that they would take control over me. That's what happened actually in the airport. They were just going, go, move, move. If you try to get out, they are waiting for you outside. You know, it was a woman, a man, another man that was driving the car. And if you try to do anything, to run actually, that was what they said to me. Yeah, she's going to stab you and basically they're going to kill you. And I was like, okay. And then I still remember I was in the airport. No one, Luton, like, I remember it was like backwards, you know, like a sort of stance with something, no person. And then, you see, whenever they took me in that airport, there was no queue to sit on, you know. So basically, they put me through this place with this woman, said, your papers, please. This man basically said, shut up, handed my IDs, handed everything, and then took me by the hand, go, go, go. Nobody asked me a question. Nobody asked, where am I going? Where am I flying? If I know where I'm flying, or if at least I'm fine, or nothing. It was just like, probably what they thought, I don't know, but nobody asked me anything.
And then when you arrived in Galway, did anyone ask you when were coming in through passport control in Galway?
Well, that was the amazing factor when I landed in Galway, because the airport was very small, you know, it wasn't like a big airport. And then the actual pimps were sitting in the action. They came next to the flight.
And took you away.
With this man that was having me, basically said, at least this one looks better, you know, straight next to the flight. The flight landed and 2 men were there.
And then they brought you to a house in Galway.
Yeah, in Salt Hill area.
And you were there for how long?
Many months. At least 3
And you were forced to have sex with a whole succession of men, particularly at times like in the book you mentioned, the Galway races.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Gardaí did raid the house and found you there.
Yeah.
And this is the bit that I think is particularly extraordinary as well. Mm. What did the Gardaí do to make sure that the pimps were punished, that you were truly getting your freedom?
They basically, what happened in that raid is that I still remember that day because I went for a shower, like never before I was allowed to have a shower. And then it was quiet, you know, for 5 minutes. I was like, I'm have a problem with like hygiene and stuff. Like I don't like to share. And that was a very impossible situation for me to live in the house with so many people. And like, you had no sort of like privacy, nothing, you know. What happened that place when the Gardaí arrived? Basically, they entered in the flat, raided. I could hear from the shower just a few sounds because the water was... But I really, like, didn't heard that what happened. I was sort of thinking people might close the doors or whatever. Now, having in mind that there were girls in that house and I knew of, because there were pimps as well, I sort of knew that nothing could happen, you know? Maybe another person is getting beaten or another person is... getting hit or another whatever. And I've seen the place, they opened like that door, pushed it, and I could see 5 faces looking at me. I was like, okay. I've seen everything, the way they were like sort of destroying around, like destroying the flat. They were just raiding it, you know. Raid is different, you know, for that. And then they were saying, don't move, don't move. And I was in the shower naked, and I was like, well, where do you want me to move? I'm in the shower sitting naked in front of you people, 15, or because there were many police officers, you know, there. Like, do you see me moving from here? Because I'm sort of not moving. Then I had nothing to wear, which they were sort of get something on you because they opened the shower, seen me naked in the shower. I said, I have nothing to wear. I generally had nothing to wear in that house because we were sort of kept sort of naked for their business. And then I said, look, do you mind trying to find something to get me dressed? And this woman went into one of the rooms because I had no clothes. Do you know, me and another girl there, we were sort of kept with no clothes and many other no things. But they sort of brought me some kind of like piece of clothing from the other girls in there, and then she comes like that with the finger and she goes, there you go. And her attitude was really sort of bad. Took me out of the shower, and I just remember still today, they put me in a living room with all the girls that were in that flat. And then they went, you're the boss, you're the boss. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, I'm not. I am like every other girl here. Don't you see I have no clothes? And basically they said, okay, you are arrested then. You recognize this is your business. And to all the girls, they said the same thing. Wasn't only me, the person that they said that. They were screaming constantly. And I was like, oh my God. I was looking next to me, sort of thinking, where are the pimps? Because I didn't see them. They were only the girls. I was in the shower. How did they disappear? How did they vanish? How did everything happen? Then they took us from the flat down into their car, put us in a cell, left us there. And in the morning, they took us in a court. And basically in court, basically they said, this is your solicitor. In court, I haven't even said the word. They basically have no record of my IDs because I had no ID with me. There is just me providing my name. And nobody actually will ever, like, I was sort of thinking, how can you charge someone just knowing their name and not having their IDs and password? Would that not be a question for you as a police officer? And then I realized that, okay, that's it. They said, anyway, you are going to go in court now, and then you're going to be out on the street. And I was like, what? they found money in that flat, €1,500, which I had no clue they existed there. Sort of nobody had the clue they existed there. Then that was it. I said nothing in court. I just met the woman that she said, I'll talk. And that was it. Next minute, we were put out of the door in the middle of the street where teams came and collected us.
And put you back to work, as they saw it again. Yeah. So effectively, you'd been criminalised and the people who were beating you and coercing you to engage in sex with men that you didn't want to
walked free on the
had walked free.
Yeah. And that happened to another three girls like me, not only me. And the I realised then all my hopes went down, sort of. At that point, I just said, all right. Because I tried to tell things and then they sort of, don't worry, you just go next day out on the door and get out, be free. What are you trying? Because I tried to tell them, look, this is what happens to me. This is, nobody actually said anything.
What age were you when all of this happened in Galway?
21, yeah.
And this was about six or 7 years ago. So do you feel that your life was stolen away from you?
Not only your life is stolen from you. Everything is stolen from you. For a moment of walking on the street with your headset in your ear to end up where I ended. Everything is stolen from you. Your freedom, your everything. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't walk. I had no medical treatment. Nobody even knew where I was. I haven't seen the light of the day. I was beaten very hard. I don't think anybody would understand what it means, that part. Not never mind saying that just your freedom being taken from you and then being sold to people that pay for you to be abused. That's sort of what's left of the humankind, you know?
I'm not going to go into the story of how you escaped and how you managed to tell your story, because that's all in your book called Slave. But to finish, Anna, how are you now? Have you managed to recover from all of the things that happened to you? Because clearly you're still very emotional in recounting it. But how are you?
Hoping every day. I'm just like any other person walking on the boulevard and just try not to, like, people that know me in work, they just don't really know things about me, you know, because I realized in these years that so many people were hurt based on what happened to me from my family, friends and everyone. And then life has to continue in a way or another, and I realized that the positive things that I can do about my life, you know, is by starting from little things, you know. There are days when I wake up stiff, or there are nights when I dream bad things, like really bad things. There are nights when I don't sleep. I can go 2 or 3 days without probably like closing an eye. There are days when I don't feel like life is even an important place to be in, but because I have the people next to me, it gives me the strength to carry on and just try to forget things, you know, just put them behind.
The book is called Slave. It's written with Jason Johnson. Anna, thank you very much for telling us your story, and we hope that everything is better for you in the future.
That's the main thing in doing the book. As the main thing, for other people to have the same chance, or to have a chance to see what's life in this world and what comes out of it, and never judge people on the wrong side of things, and just raise awareness about the things that happen this very moment everywhere, Ireland, UK, all around the world.
That there are evil people out there who kidnap and enslave women and sell them for sex.
Yeah, they would do anything for money, and they would sell anything for money. And that's the sad part, what I had to reach and see it, you know. It happened 8 years ago, but this happens now. And the purpose of that book is basically if my story gets there, like for other girls, you know, because think about other people that they are there now, they don't have access to the radio, they have no access to information. But at least if their families, you know, prior of happening, or at least these people would have in the car and they would hear in the radio, look, they would feel sort of horrified that this could destroy their empire and just put them off of doing business in selling people. And I don't know, people would not want to pay for these kind of people that were like me. You know, that's the point in the English book, for people to understand, for girls to find out that they have an escape, even if there is no one next to you. And then out of this, they have a hope to get where I am sitting today. You know?
Anna, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word.
Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.